everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I welcome Beth Santos. And Beth is a dear friend of mine, someone I met actually through a blogger influencer project we did with Gorilla Glass. I met her back in 2015, and we became fast friends, and she is truly, not only a dear friend, but a remarkable businesswoman. And you're going to learn a lot from her on this show. This show is definitely going to be focused on more of our business topics. So just want to give you guys context here. This is less of a fitness focused episode and more in our business series. And for those of you, this might be your first episode if you're listening. The reason that we're covering business and interviews with successful businesswomen is this. I have a passion for seeing women really develop and pursue their passions. Because for me, when women do so, it's just absolutely amazing to watch them come to life versus being stuck in a dead-end job, working for somebody else, suffering from a long commute, and probably dealing with not being paid what they're worth. That drives me crazy. Further, when any of the above situations are true, we often are not even realizing how much the stress of either not earning our worth or just being in a dead-end job where we're not doing work that we love, that we feel called to do, is affecting our health. It's affecting our health because the stress and the anxiety that comes with all that drama, if you will, is truly taking a toll on all of our efforts in the gym. And that's why we're covering this on The Kelly O Show. And it's a topic I'm very, very passionate about. And I truly want to interview as many successful businesswomen as I can, simply so that we can pull back the curtain for all of you ladies that are potentially in corporate America, thinking about getting a side hustle for some extra income, developing several streams of income, which we recommend. Or if you're thinking about leaving corporate America to pursue your dreams, this is going to give you the opportunity to learn from women who have been there, done that, and learn about how, you know, A, we're not trying to say running your own business or having a side hustle is easy money. It's not winning the lottery, right? But how different your life can be when you're doing work you love. You're really going to love this interview with Beth. Beth is the founder of the Women in Travel Summit, which is an event for travel bloggers. And it's a very, this event has grown every year since 2014. And she also founded the Wonderful Network, which is truly an amazing community of women who are, these are my words, fired up about traveling solo. I love the idea that Beth started this network and this community to encourage women to go travel more. And you know, that's also a topic we're going to be covering on this show as well. Travel and encouraging all of us, again, for the same reasons, to decrease stress, increase joy, and therefore make a better impact on our health by taking more vacations. Even if it's a staycation, you know, start exploring your own city. We all need to take more time off and travel more and get outside more. It's just good for our health. So sit back and enjoy. This is a two-part episode. We talk a lot about business, but some fantastic topics that I know are going to be of interest to all of you based on what you've been writing in about. We talk about self-care. We talk about, confidence. We talk about how to build when you don't, when you're just getting started and you have no idea, how to build when you're starting to get overwhelmed, hiring mistakes. I mean, you name it, we talk about it in this two-part episode. So sit back, grab yourself a great cappuccino, and enjoy this two-part episode with Beth Santos.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kelly O Show. Today's guest, I'm thrilled to have her on the show because she is somebody who has been hugely influential in my life. She's one of what I refer to as my Gorilla Glass girls. I'll explain that a little bit more once we get into the interview. But I met Beth Santos. When did we meet? In 2015, Beth?
Oh, God, it was like the beginning of time.
Yeah, it feels like forever ago. But yeah, we were all invited. So to give you guys some context before we start, we were all, because of our various social media and blog backgrounds, we were all invited by the folks at Corning Gorilla Glass to participate in an influencer thing that turned into an ongoing gig. And it was me and Beth, Leticia from Tech Savvy Mama, Juliana Dever from Clever Dever Wherever. I'll link up to all these people in the show notes. And we were just four women who bonded like right away, even though Beth, I will say when I met you, I thought you didn't like me at all.
You know, that's a thing I have actually. People say that. Marvin, my husband tells me all the time I have like a face that I need to adjust sometimes.
I think it is the best. You know, it was the best learning thing because it's just the funny. We did not plan to talk about this, you guys, but I'm just going with it. I just remember that we all came into this room and we were introduced, and I thought you and Juliana did not like me. And then,
oh my God, that's so funny.
I did. And Juliana had, remember she made that one comment about my makeup at dinner? She was like, well, Kelly can show us all how to do makeup. I'm like, that bitch is making fun of me. And what was funny is I thought she's a mean girl. She doesn't like me and whatever. And what was funny is that was the trip where they said we were getting ready to leave. It was when we were in Corning, New York. And they said, well, Juliana and Kelly are on the same flight, so they're going to be in the same limo. And I'm like, shit. We ended up going to the airport together and we totally bonded. She got me on Snapchat. She showed me how to do it. And then, you know, we bonded over the fact that like, we don't have kids and, you know, da, 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 da. And then, you know, you and I had bonded before that, but it was just funny that I consider the three of you like my dearest friends. You really have made such an impact on my life with kind of waking me up to what a workaholic, non-travel, no life person I was. And so you've changed my life forever, but it is funny that when I first met you guys, I'm like, well, two out of the three of these people did not like me, but you really did.
Well, and you can never think that about Leticia because Leticia likes everyone and is just, and everyone loves her. So, that had to be how it was, but I'm so glad that turned around because I love our little group and it's been so great. And just learning from you all, I think has been such a great experience for me. And so definitely one of the best experiences that I've had.
It was, and it is, it was one of those things where I really did step out of, my comfort zone. And, I just started listening. Well, I'll probably weave that story in a little bit later where it was like the four of us having dinner and we were going around the table talking about travel but we'll get to that. And I'll tell you guys that might have
already there.
I might have to be like a whole other show because I have to share like the decisions that I made. Cause I want other women to do that. I want other women to like wake up in their life and go, okay, if things are not going the way I want them, if I'm miserable in my relationship, in my job, in my, in my home life, whatever, in my body, like, what am I going to do about it? Am I just going to keep trudging through life and just getting through life? That's a horrible way to live. Basically what these girls woke me up to. But let me start back at the beginning and first say, welcome to the show, Beth.
Thank Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you on. And for those that are listening, I want to tell you, and I said this a little bit in the introduction, today's show, we're going to be focusing on, you all know, if you listened to the introductory episode to the Kelly O Show, I talked about the topics that we're going to cover. And two of the topics that we're going to cover on the show, we're going to cover today with Beth. And one of them is going to be travel. And I want her to tell you about her business because she has an amazing network for women who want to travel solo or together. And I feel very strongly about encouraging all of us to take more trips, whether it's a staycation or a vacation or a solo trip or whatever it is, because in this country, we are working ourselves into just a horrible state of health because we don't take our vacations. Mm-hmm. We don't take our days off. And all of the data out there, I'm sure Beth has more of it than I do, shows that more travel, more vacation, it recharges you. It gives you time off. We need to do more of that. So we're going to talk about travel today and her business that's based on travel. And then secondly, her business experience, because she is a tremendously successful businesswoman who has just catapulted both of her businesses, all of her businesses since I've met her, you know, a few years ago. Why don't you tell people, Beth, because a lot of people are being exposed to you for the first time on this podcast. Yeah. You've got essentially, and I hope I'm saying it right, you've got an event, the Women in Travel Summit, and then you have the Wonderful Network. So it's not the Wonderful Network. It is wonderful, but it's the Wonderful Network, yes, which I love the play on words. Tell us about your business.
Yeah. So, and gosh, thank you so much for that really sweet introduction. And I have to say, I know we will do our best to stay on the two topics, but I also just have to venture to say that there are so many other topics that are going to be ingrained into these two. And I think one that Kelly hasn't mentioned, but knowing Kelly and knowing, you know, how this podcast goes, community is going to be one. Yeah. Listening is going to be one. Learning is going to be one. And one thing that I really appreciate about you, Kelly, and even from that first day I remember, is you really, really listen to people to a level that I think is just so meaningful. And to those who are listening and who are thinking about, you know, contemplating a career change or contemplating a lifestyle change and getting out and traveling, I think one of the best skills that you can have as we grow is just learning how to connect with people and learning how to listen to them. And one thing that I've always really valued about you, Kelly, is that you aren't afraid to make those changes. And you will sit down with somebody. And I remember that first meeting that we had when we're all sitting around the table and you were just like digesting everything we had to say about travel. And you were going, I want to do this for my life. And then you did. And then you just went out and did like it was nothing. And of course it was so much more than nothing, but I think I really appreciate that. And I think that's a really huge part of these themes of travel and entrepreneurship, in being able to take some of these things, internalize them, and then turn them around and decide, okay, how am I going to incorporate this into my own lifestyle?
I agree 1,000%.
Yay.
I do.
So let me give you the quick and dirty of who I am. So I run Wonderful. It is.
You are quick and dirty. You knew I was going to say that. You opened the door.
So quick and so dirty.
Is that what your husband said? I'm
sorry.
That's
what I'm going to call my husband
show tonight.
No. He's going to be like, quick, I'm sorry. No, anyway. So Wonderful is, you know, in all, a global lifestyle brand that uses community and uses sisterhood to help women travel the world. And that's really the essence of it. I can give you, you know, the long version of how we started. When the time is right, I won't dig into that. But basically, the goal is to help support women who want to travel, for whom travel is a huge part of their lives, to not only give them advice and resources about their next trip, but to connect them with a community of people who get it, who have been through those experiences before, because people who travel, what they understand is that is a transformational experience, and you never leave for a trip and come back the same person. And to be able to connect with other people who have had similar experiences and to really digest them, you know, whether it was there wasn't a great thing that happened while you were abroad, whether there was something that was incredible that happened, whether you feel like a different person, whether you've learned something, whether you've grown. I think a lot of this really leans into self-care. But the other thing that happened is that so many people are jumping on, you know, the travel bandwagon, if you will, that now there's this really strong growing space in influencer marketing and travel blogging. But actually, I would argue that this is much more entrepreneurship. And I think when we first started the Women in Travel Summit in 2014, the idea was we had started as a blog. We were, you know, sharing stories as women travelers. We realized that other women were starting blogs. And why don't we kind of bring them all together and convene them in one place and talk about it? And so the content was, you know, how to build a Twitter presence and WordPress 101 and that kind of thing. But now what we're finding is that, and you know this even better than I do, Kelly, that influencer marketing is just in a whole different space where now, you know, these women who started these blogs in 2014, now they've got a million readers, and not just a million readers, but these readers are listening to what they say. They really trust them. And so they're not only influencing the direction of the travel industry, but they've actually got their ears to the ground of what's happening in the space. And they're able to use that information to transform the industry for the better. So the conference then becomes much less about, you know, how to build a Twitter presence and more about what are the things that are happening in travel and how do we make sure that travel is more inclusive, that travel is more responsible, that travel moves in the direction that we want to move, because women are 80% of travel decisions and we are the ones making the change. So what do we do next? And that's really what the summit's all about.
Dang. That's, I mean, when you said there's so much change going on in travel, you know, I absolutely have been exposed to several. Well, I mean, the funny thing is for me, I had never done a home away or, you know, Airbnb until a friend of mine did it and posted it. I was so skeptical. I've always been skeptical of certain things and I did it and that opened my eyes. And then I thought about, I was getting my nails done about a month or so ago. And I heard this woman talking and she was talking about booking a ticket somewhere to some place. And she was talking about how it was going to cost her $18,000. And
I'm like, oh my God.
Are you kidding? And she was
going to Antarctica.
She was like bragging about, you know, but she was talking about her job and that she was a timeshare salesperson. And I was like,
wow,
timeshare? Do people even do timeshares? And I actually started to do some research and I just thought, wow, I wonder how much the timeshare industry from a travel perspective has been disrupted. And just for me, my first job out of college was working in sales for a hotel. And I know how that business rolls and how behind the times they still are. And so I'm sure you probably have more insight on that, because I think as travelers, whether we're going with a bunch of people, a significant other, or, you know, as your network encourages women to do, which I love, travel solo, there's so many options now. What changes do you see based on, because you're so much more connected to the travel space, do you see that there's like, is it that the Airbnbs and the HomeAways are really disrupting the hotel space, or is the hotel space, are they starting to catch up? I don't see the hotel space catching up. I feel like they're still so stagnant in engaging with the consumer, but that's just my personal opinion. What do you think?
But you know what happens is now we're getting to a place where Airbnb and these companies that were the disruptors, now they're being disrupted. You know, there's now there are innovations because they've gotten so big that they've really had to deal with, you know, and a lot of these, if you look on Google, you'll see, you know, articles coming under fire for discrimination, coming under fire for poor customer service, for listings that don't end up being how they appear in their photos. And what do they do about it? And so actually, a year ago, we actually launched our own home sharing network because we don't have enough to do. And and really what we found was that, you know, the reason we started it was because we noticed that a lot of the women in our community were really interested in this idea of hyperlocal travel, of living, you know, in someone else's home and in that as part of the travel experience, you know, not just having it be, I'm out in the world and then I'm going to kind of retire into, you know, a kind of Spartan room that's just sort of anything that I could have at home, but actually the place that you sleep becoming part of the travel experience as well. But there was a real trust problem and there were a lot of brand issues that some of these companies have faced that have, especially in the solo female travel market, caused them to really avoid that. In fact, it was over half of the women in our community had considered doing a home sharing experience, but then had opted out for some reason or other. And most of that was because of safety. It was whether it was their own own safety and they were concerned about it, or whether it was their family voicing concerns. And we had stories of women who said, I had booked a whole trip and ended up backing out of the trip entirely because my family was too worried for me, or you know, I got cold feet. And so what we realized is by creating a home sharing network that's designed to empower women and support women, we have a lot of women who, and on the hostess side as well, you know, women who are empty nesters, women who live alone, who would love to welcome people into their home and have that cultural exchange experience, but don't feel comfortable doing that in a complete open environment. And so So that's something that we've brought in, but I think these things are constantly going to be changing. And that's one thing that I love about where the travel landscape is right now, is that we have had so many expectations of what travel should be. And so many innovations nowadays have allowed for those expectations to be completely uprooted. And I'm talking about, you know, the price and accessibility in travel, the fact that there's low cost airlines now, the fact that social media is such a huge part of our experience. You learn about places that you might not have heard of so quickly, and it's so much easier to get there. And when you get there, you don't have to be staying at a luxury hotel and, you know, eating out every night if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. There are things even, now there's Airbnb for meals, meal sharing and eat with. You can actually eat in somebody's house and like buy a spot at their dinner table. I mean, it's just
the
craziest stuff. And so, but I think it makes it so that there's a bigger pie here. And if you want to have, you know, a luxurious travel experience, you can, but you also can do it on a very limited budget. And that really opens the playing field for more people to participate and to travel more.
And I think too, it's just, it's so true. I mean, you know that I come from having just closed down recently, Fitfluential and running an influencer, or back then we called it a blogger network. When we started, it was a blogger network. Yeah. And then it was at the tail end. That was when everything was changing to using the word influencer. But the truth is as much as I was like so tired of doing blogger campaigns, that was different. Blogger campaigns were, for those of you listening, if you're not familiar with that, it's really just, you know, say Nike would hire our company. They would say, hey, we've got a new running shoe coming out. We want to get this running shoe out to 25 running bloggers and have them do a review on their blog. So it was like a campaign. It was a very short time period, and it was really strictly circled around a product. What I think, as much as from a business perspective, I'm kind of over that. And I really, there's a degree to which a review can help anybody. But what I have found, and particularly with travel, when I see somebody like watching Juliana in Georgia, you know, and not the Georgia that's here in the United States, that remember when she first told me, like, Kelly, there's a Georgia overseas. I'd never been overseas, you guys. I didn't even have a passport. Well, we're not even going to talk about my lack of travel experiences that came up in that conversation with the three of them. But when I watch somebody, I think of a friend of mine, Jenny Meyer, and she was sharing on her Instagram stories her trip to Ireland. And literally, you know, you're seeing how cold it is, how windy it is. Another influencer I follow, she was in Iceland. And, you know, you're actually seeing stuff that you might have seen on a Discovery Channel thing, but it was a produced segment. When it's somebody that you know, or even maybe you don't know them personally, but you follow them, and seeing it through a live lens like that, to me, it's just, it's game changing. I can't tell you how many resorts or homeaways or locations I've looked up, and I can just mention the names right now. Jeremy Scott and his wife went to a place. I've got it bookmarked. Seafire Resorts. Yeah. I got it bookmarked because somebody else went there. I just have to believe there's so much power in all of us sharing our experiences more than ever. And in the travel space, because I'm going to go back to one of like my third job. I worked for a video tour company, virtual tour company. And I saw the opportunity to get hotels to start doing virtual tours.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, when I met with Marriott back in those days and Hyatt back in those days, they're like, our customers don't need to see inside the rooms. I'm like, really? Honestly? And I was,
now it's everywhere.
Yeah. And I would pitch them back then. I'm like, you know what people, cause I would pitch it from a business traveler's perspective. I would say, when I come to, you know, Atlanta, I want to know where are the running trails, where are the good restaurants, where are the good sushi spots? Like Yelp was not that big of a deal back then. And yeah. I feel like now that's what you see. It's such a powerful, powerful thing. I mean, influencer marketing in that respect, when you see the power of people who have a following and who are sharing those experiences, you know, I'm curious about this. So you had said before we started recording that you've got your wonderful network and then you've got your Women in Travel Summit, and the Women in Travel Summit tends to be folks who have a passion for travel that have, you know, become a blogger, and that's that kind of professional environment for them to go to, a professional event, where your wonderful network is less about people who are full-time travel bloggers, but folks that are traveling and they want to be a part of that. My question to you is, with those people that are in your network, do they get approached to get to work with brands? Do they see that they have like this really fantastic opportunity? They have people that follow them that go, okay, because you shared that story, I'm going to go. Do they see how influential they are in the travel space? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the influencer side. Yes. I think they're definitely seeing that. I think and it's interesting, Kelly, because the stuff moves so fast. And even now we just had at our last summit, we had a whole session called "Is Influencer a Bad Word?" Because so many brands now are saying, you know, I don't work with influencers because I don't want to work with somebody who is getting paid to, you know, promote something or say something, and it becomes inauthentic. But then you have to think about, you know, well, first of all, that's what advertising is. And second of all, you know, okay, fine. So we use the word creator actually even more now. And that's sort of taking into account people who might be bloggers, or maybe you have a podcast, or maybe you started with a blog and now you're like us and you run trips and you have a community and you do. So, but I think all of those things, what we realize is that they're all connected. And we have really been pushing the women in our community talking on the influencer and blogger side, we have been pushing them to step into this place of I am an entrepreneur and I'm a business owner and I'm not just a writer. You know, not that being just a writer is a negative thing at all, but just kind of recognizing that there's another side to this. It's not just that they're writing about it and then putting it out into the universe, but there's a cause and effect that they're looking for from that. And it's a two-way conversation that they're having with their followers, and they're really building businesses and driving revenue. And so I think a lot of what we do is some level of coaching and some level of, you know, of I hate the word empowerment, but like helping them recognize the power that they already inherently have within themselves. And so in that way, yes. Now on the traveler side, the kind of, you know, us regular Jill travelers. We have,
I love that you say regular Jill.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Regular Jill. So we, no offense to anyone named Jill. We have a Facebook group called Wonderful Women Who Travel, and it's a global Facebook group. It's open to anyone to join. Anyone who we ask for, we use an inclusive definition of woman. So as being and identifying as a woman is valuable to you, you're welcome into this community. And it is for women who love to travel to offer advice to each other. And actually, to that point, we also recently launched a membership community that takes it a step further and gives you opportunities to connect in person, one-on-one. So to find people where you are or to find a local chapter, we have 50 chapters around the world now, and go to an event and meet people face-to-face. But our Facebook group is just for that exchange of advice. And honestly, I don't think that the women in that Facebook group quite realize how influential even they are, because, you know, if that isn't your job in your career, you're not thinking about it. But if somebody posts a piece of advice in that group, there's immediately hundreds of eyes on it. And so to some degree, and I think we're still learning how to measure that, they have made an impact on the people who've seen that and they've thought about it, you know. And I equate it to, people often say like, oh, well, you know, if somebody posts about something, how do I know that, you know, somebody else is going to buy the thing? And I said, kind of the same way you know that somebody's going to buy something based on seeing a billboard. You don't really know, but it kind of adds up. And eventually, once you have enough data, you can say, well, this year we had a billboard here, this year we didn't. So there was a change, you know, but at the end of the day, I can't quantify, oh, I saw this billboard. Now I'm going to compile that with three other ads I've seen, and I'm going to go out to the grocery store and buy a Coke. It's not quite that direct, but I think it's part of it. And so when you're in a pool of all these women who are genuinely there to get advice and to help each other, I think we're all influencing each other, and we're all contributing our ideas and our feedback into the greater ecosystem, and then it churns. So so I think in a lot of ways, you know, influence is not just who you are, but also the environment that you surround yourself with. And for us, it's creating a community of women who naturally have that higher level of trust for each other.
And I really love what you said too about creator, because, you know, I have certainly learned, I was in a different Facebook group, and it's really about people who are in the business of influencer marketing, and they are, you know, typically looking for influencers, and somebody had recommended because sometimes I don't do a lot of this, but sometimes I'll still brands or agencies will contract with me, and I help them find very niche influencers just in the fitness space. I really am doing less and less of this, but I saw, you know, some posts in there that were very critical, and it kind of surprised me just about, well, here's how I choose to pay people, and it's just based on numbers, and you know, it's not that big of a deal. There, it can't take that much time, and I really just politely went off to go, I don't think you understand how different it is to put content out today. And I don't think that's a whole other discussion. I won't let myself, you know, go on a tirade. But, you know, I've seen it myself as I've gotten back into my own personal blog, and I bought, you know, the expensive camera, and I bought the lighting and the microphones, and you realize how much equipment when people approach me to be on the podcast, I get these snotty PR reps, and I'm like, do you remember, like, you approached me, you're not paying me to do my show. Totally. I pay to produce the show. I'm giving you free PR to my huge network. Don't be a biatch to me, because anyway, that's a whole other story. But it really, the word creator, it makes sense, because there really is a huge time component to being any kind of an influencer who's spending time creating a lot of content. And so I love that word. To bring it back to, because there's a lot of women listening to the show who have a goal of either starting a side hustle, potentially becoming a blogger. Maybe they're blogging and it's been very casual, but they want to take it up a notch. And there's quite a lot of people who have just entrepreneurial aspirations in general. And so I'd love to hear from you. You know, you have this Women in Travel Summit. You've got your wonderful network. You've spoken with tremendous, intelligence about the market. And you can tell you've just had a wealth of experience, and your network is growing and growing. And it's wonderful to see it blossoming. But what was it for you that made you decide to start a business? And what was it about travel? And what came first? Was it the event, or was it the network?
That is a great question that nobody has asked me. And the technical answer is that the network came first. But the other equally technical answer is that the conference is what made this into a business. So when I had started Wonderful, it had a totally different name. I called it letsgogirl.wordpress.com.
No way.
And I was traveling. I was writing my story. I went on Craigslist back when it was free to post job postings on Craigslist. I went on Craigslist and I said, looking for writers, you know, for a blog, monthly contribution, no pay. And a whole bunch of people signed up. And I went, well, that's interesting. So I had 30 writers, you know, this was like no business. This is complete hobby. You know, we're not making money. 30 writers, completely unpaid, contributing a monthly column about their travels. And it was, for a while, that's how it existed, actually. I was working in the nonprofit world. I was in international development. I moved to Chicago, started working for Rotary International as a grant officer. And then I think it was, there was some confluence of moving into the city. I had been living in rural North Carolina before my husband was in the military, long story. And it was moving to the city and I went, wow, there's like so much opportunity here and there's so many people. I wonder if there's something I should be doing with this blog that's more than a blog. And so we started hosting happy hours in Chicago all the money would go benefit like a women's organization that was doing great things for women around the world. And we'd gather women together. And I think there was a moment just seeing these women interacting that I thought, huh, there's really something here to this face-to-face interaction. And so we incorporated in 2013. I still don't really think we knew I do not think we knew what we were doing. I think we were still kind of like, okay, well, maybe this is a blog. You know, we made $4 a month in banner advertising. Like it wasn't, you know, anything. And then it sort of dawned on me as we were building this blog that maybe we should put together a conference. And the only reason that I thought that a conference was a good idea was because I had just gotten married the year before. And I went, well, I planned an event for 180 people last year and it wasn't so bad. So I feel like I could do the same thing, but it's just like a professional event. So, you know, why not? It was really, I mean, I cannot think of any other reason. It just dawned on me. And I think I've just always been entrepreneurial and I've always loved to create things and I've always loved to gather people together. And so it just made sense for me to do something like this. And so we planned this conference. We planned it in 4 months. I'd never planned a conference before. I didn't know that you actually need 12 months at least and not four, but it was an absolute hit. We had 183 women that came and it was about halfway into the planning process that I quit my job. I just was just so overwhelmed with like trying to, you know, work a full-time job and run a conference. And I would like run up to the roof of our building and take these sponsorship calls and pretend that I was, you know, taking them from my office somewhere and like, you know, pitching these sponsors. And it was also during that time that I had entered business school. And so I think my mind started thinking in that way. Yeah.
I remember your graduation.
Yes. Yeah. So, and I went to business school, not, you know, I want to say it this way because I think sometimes people go on podcasts and they go on shows and it just sounds like they had planned out their life from birth. Like first I did this and then I did this in order to achieve this. And then I did this. And for me, it was not like that at all. It was these different winding paths that were kind of happening at the same time. And on that winding path, you know, I was in international development and I was fascinated by social enterprise. And I went to business school because there were no international development programs in Chicago. And I was like, well, business school sounds good. Let's do that. I don't know. I just want to get smarter. And so it was like, you know, I'm like planning a conference and I'm going to business school and I have this blog. And then I'm realizing that all of these things actually are on the path to one thing, which is creating what Wonderful is. And I think the conference gave me that financial freedom to take that plunge and to take that risk because otherwise, you know, there would have been no future. We were making $4 a month on banner ads or whatever. So I think the conference is when we kind of looked at, no, this is real and there's real demand here. And there are real people who bought a real flight to fly to Chicago for this thing that I've created. There's something here. And so, so that's why I can't really answer your question of which came first. Cause you know, technically the blog came first, but the business only came after realizing the real power in that in-person community and taking the offline into the real space.
But you know, your answer is really good in so many ways. And it's illustrating a great point for, you know, I'm always thinking when I'm doing these podcasts of, you know, who's listening and what's on their mind. And we've done a lot of polling and I just know how many of them are very nervous and insecure about their, and they compare themselves. They compare themselves to, so it's great that you've shared some of these points that, hey, I really didn't have a linear path. It wasn't simple. It wasn't planned. I made a lot of like, hey, let's see if this sticks.
You've reached the end of part one of this two-part episode with Beth Santos. Make sure you tune in to part two.